Welcome to Mad Toast Live with your hosts Chris Wagner and Mary Gaines. Recorded live. That's right. Thank you. Recorded live for podcast every week at the Brink Lounge, 701 East Washington Avenue, right down the hill from the Capitol Building in Madison, Wisconsin.
I can't add anything to that. I think it's, there's some things I'm supposed to add. Our podcasts come out every Monday and Thursday, Central Standard Time, on madtoastlive.com.
Daylight.
I'm going to get you.
Daylight.
I'm going to get you. And it's also on iTunes. So, well, welcome to Chris and Ann Plata.
Well, thank you for having us. I brought my fan club with me. All two people.
Well, I thought you meant your wife, but...
Two dogs, two horses. They're our normal fan club.
Yeah. Now this is your second time on the show, but the first time since Andy's been doing sound and we've been actually online as a podcast.
So. Yes. This is it's nice to be back. This is a different room.
It's a different room. Yeah. Have we changed at all? Are we different people?
Well, I won't go there.
kind of a deep.
I don't think you wore a yellow shirt last time.
Well, that's true.
You know, the stage, I hate to say this, but the stage kind of just reminds me of church.
Oh.
I think it's the stairs.
She's Catholic, you know.
And I think that's like a choir should go up there or something. And...
Do you want to start with it?
I was going to say you seem more holy.
That's the first time anyone said that to me.
Well, we used to call him John Christian Sparky the Baby Jesus Wagner, but we don't really call him that anymore. Yeah.
That was nice. Sorry, that was a really bad imitation of an organ. I'm sorry. We'd like to have a pipe organist on the show sometime, but...
Great. I think we might have to take the show to the pipe organist, instead of the other way around.
But if you notice, Mary's the kind of person, she remembers what you're wearing. She remembers what you guys wore the last time you were on the show.
Well, we always wear the same clothes, so it doesn't really...
So do I.
We just hang them up in the closet, you know.
Yeah.
Pull them out, and people know we're... You know, they can tell us by smell.
Well, it does make it easier to recognize you if you're wearing the same clothes.
Right.
You know, I don't really remember faces, just clothes.
I own all yellow shirts, though.
Oh. Too.
It saves on...
I always know who you are, then.
This is cool, because I swear we didn't talk about this last time, so this is new. New territory.
That's right. Yeah. Well, you know, it's you get into a color thing, and then you just... Yeah. Hang out there for a while.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's what we do on the show. We get on something like a rabid dog. We just beat it to death and tear it. Shred. But you guys, we've known you for quite a long time. You have a wonderful band. Mr. Clyde Stubblefield, great funky drummer. Used to play with...
James Brown.
There you go. I knew you guys would say it.
What else? Who else did he play with? Otis Redding? You know Otis Redding?
Oh, yeah.
From the lake.
Yeah.
I think they got him out. But I should hope. But who else is in the band? Oh, Ernie Connors.
Yeah, Ernie and the Professor Tom Dillinger.
Yes.
Yeah. I think we should probably say the band name. What do you think?
Extra Hot. Yeah. Chris Plata and Extra Hot.
As Clyde says, Extry.
Extry
Hot.
Well, Clyde also told me the one about... I think I can only remember the punchline, but Worcestershire sauce? It's not fun. I'm sorry. I take. I didn't even know. I don't know the joke. The punchline is Worcestershire. Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah.
Worcestershire sauce.
That sounds like a Clyde.
Yeah.
We call them Clydeisms.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, so he takes two words and he morphs them.
Yeah.
Like
frustrated and flustered.
Oh.
Yeah, it's flustrated.
Yeah.
That's good.
And
that's
we
good.
Can't even say the other two words anymore. it's part of our English vocabulary.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Did you ever meet President Bush? Former ex-president?
I'm not going to go there.
Don't go there. Okay, yeah.
Well, Chris actually had me change around the letters in careful. I remember one day when I was working a day job and somebody was on a ladder and it looked like they were getting really close to an electrical thingy and I said, Farkle! And then I said, Careless! And they just stopped what they were doing and looked, what the heck are you talking about?
It's one of those words.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get really off the subject of music, which we often do, you guys just want to play something pretty for us?
Sure. I'll do you a song that my father wrote. My father was a great musician, and then for the longest time, he just quit playing, quit writing songs. And it wasn't until my mother passed away that he started writing music again. And he knew I was going to record a CD. So he called me up and said, "Hey, I've got a song that I want you to play on the CD. I want you to record it." And I'm going, "Oh, God. You know, what if it's really nasty and bad?" But he sent me this
loving son.
Yeah, and I'm God, I got to put the old man song on here. And he sent me a little cassette tape, and he played the harmonica in one key and sang in another key. So it was like, wow, okay. So I had to kind of like morph it into a, but it was a song about my mother that he wrote after she had passed away. And the song is titled Mi Sueño, which means my dream. And it's written kind of in the 1940s and 50s style of ranchero music, which is indigenous to South Texas.
Cuando yo la miro, tengo la esperanza de llegar a ser su dueño. Y cuando la miro hasta en mi sueño. Cuando no la miro, yo sigo pensando que algún desde la mañana pienso en ella todo el día. Y cuando me duermo la empiezo a soñar. Y cuando despierto la quiero mirar. Y veo su retrato pa' poderme consolar. Quiero mirar y veo su retrato pa' poderme consolar. Cuando no la miro, siento la nostalgia que no puedo soportarla. Y cuando la miro, quisiera abrazarla y también quisiera besarla. Si le estoy mirando, me estoy acordando cuando no la conocía. Es una joya de una gran joyería. Y cuando me duermo, le empiezo a soñar. Y cuando la quiero mirar y veo su retrato pa' poderme consolar. Y cuando me duermo le empiezo a soñar. Y cuando despierto la quiero mirar y veo su retrato pa' poderme consolar.
Thank you very much. Awesome. Thank you.
Man, I swear, I never want to learn how to speak Spanish so badly as when I listen to you sing.
Well, you know, the funny thing is that when I was going to school, they used to put soap in our mouths when we spoke Spanish at school because they wanted us to learn English.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. At recess, you know, we get out there and let her all hang loose.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like an interesting teaching strategy. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of immerses you into the English language, yeah. I guess. You know,
but. I've got a quick soap story about teaching, though. I'll be very quick.
Are you Catholic?
No, I'm not. But,
Quaker.
But, this is a string teacher. I heard kind of secondhand. There's a little boy, I guess, in this an orchestra, and they were about ready to do this concert. And this little boy, very enthusiastic player, and he liked to play very loudly, but very out of tune. Mm-hmm. And everybody else was doing okay. And so before the concert, the teacher said, "Oh, let me put some more rosin on your bow for you." And she soaped his bow so that you wouldn't hear him.
Sound.
But he had a great time. He didn't know. You know, he was just like flailing away, just a grin on his face, you know, and the orchestra sounded great. And
Milli Vanilli, right?
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of creative. A lot of creative uses for soap. Anyway.
That's true.
So you mentioned ranchera, Mexican country music. Mm-hmm. And this is all on Chris's web, on their website. What's your best website for people to go? Is it
powerweb.net/plata.
P-L-A-T-A.
Right. And for those of you that don't speak Spanish, by the way, plata means silver in English.
Okay.
Well, that's a good name.
I could say Chris Silver, but then it would sound, you know, a little not quite as authentic.
But it's a really nice description on your website about your early musical influences reflecting your Mexican heritage, including, would you mind talking about that a little bit?
Sure, no problem. I'm legal.
I wasn't going to ask. Known you for a long time.
We were just talking earlier today about, never mind. Immigration, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Silence.
But yeah, you said, Norteño, Northern Mexican border music,
mm-hmm.
Conjunto.
Right. Elements, well, yeah. Conjunto and Norteño are kind of almost similar, except that the Conjunto music is the music that the Chicano people play on the U.S. side of the border, and Norteño music is what the Mexican people play on the other side of the border. And the only difference is that the Norteño, the Mexican guys, hang out more on the melody. They're not quite as jazzy on their chord progressions.
Uh-huh.
And the Conjunto guys in the U.S., they're a little bit more jazzy, and you know they push it a little bit more as far as like their chords or whatever. So it's a little bit more jazzy, but that's about the only difference in the music.
Do you think that's because of the influences, the other influences? You know, whatever, Southern blues from the States?
Yeah, especially in South Texas, you know, you get all the blues, you get Cajuns, you get country music, and even, you know, jazz too. So
yeah.
And they were the first ones also to add drums and get the accordionist to stand up in front of the band and stuff like that. So and there's a 12-string guitar called a bajo sexto that they accompany themselves in. But the Conjunto guys, they took that off and they put guitar and bass, you know, electric bass on the on the music. So
I mean, at the risk of being horribly wrong here, but Freddie Mercury. No,
Freddie Mercury.
did I say the name right? Freddie Mercury. Freddie Fender. What the heck am I saying? Freddie Mercury
was from Queen, honey.
Yeah. We are the champions. Oh, no, sorry.
He sang in Spanish sometimes, and really.
No, well, he used to, but he's passed away now, so he don't sing at all.
So Freddie Mercury was not necessarily conjunto, what we think of.
Right, no, you're
traditionally.
Yeah, well, yeah, Freddie Fender is I'm sorry, I was trying to imagine Freddie Mercury fronting a conjunto.
Yeah, it's okay. I've had a lot to drink,
especially
by now,
with those tights he wore.
Yeah, thanks.
No, well, Freddie Fender was he was more of a rock and roller. He never did much conjunto music, but there's, you know, you're thinking probably of Flaco Jimenez and people
for sure.
And there are a lot of seminal people that, but Flaco Jimenez's father was the most famous one of the guy who made the conjunto sound, and his name was Santiago Jimenez.
Okay.
Right. He was the godfather of the whole thing.
And did he and his son Flaco play together?
Yes, but Flaco was the guitar player.
Okay.
Or the bajo sexto player. But you hardly ever get it where two accordionists play together, you know, so you have to have more of the...
There's a good reason for that.
Well, yeah. Well, that and also...
They want an audience.
Well, the other thing, too, is that a lot of the conjunto accordion players don't use the left hand.
Okay.
They took all the reeds out of theirs because then you can open and close the bellows real fast and get really fast.
Thank you. I always wondered about it. I thought it was just they didn't play the left hand because they didn't need to because... You have a bass player.
Right, no, but when you pull those reeds out of the accordion, you can open and close the bellows much faster. Uh-huh. So generally what you try to do is when you play the accordion is you want to do all on a pull out or a push in. Not like, you know, because you have the accordion that you get the same.
Well, I have a
yeah, it's not
accordion.
Not diatonic, so you get a different note going in. So once you start to lose it, you can push it closed again really fast. And
Okay.
And so it just adds to the speed of your playing.
Yeah, I just thought those guys were much stronger. Because I couldn't believe how fast they move on those.
Right, yeah, no, it's like, it's what really easy when the reeds are out of the left hand to open and close
and
the
buttons. And Chris, you play one of those kind of accordions too.
Yeah, I play the button accordion. Yeah. Not very well, but I play.
Oh, I've heard it. It's beautiful. Want to play another tune?
We have a deaf dog because of his accordion playing. He's 13 now, and he can't hear anything, and it's because of him.
I think it's the low end he can't handle anymore.
Man. Our dog used to lay down in front of my dad's bass amp, and I'm not sure if that was before or after.
He lost his hearing?
Yeah. Well, you know, the low end, really, that's what goes on that little dog, I think.
Blame me.
Yeah, well, just the rhythm section. Yeah.
What are you going to play for us?
Well, if y'all guys would want to jump in here and help us out here.
Sure.
It's a song that I wrote about when we went out west. And it was, I'm pretty certain, either that or I had a lot to drink. We were going out in Wyoming, and there was a town called Big Lonesome. And I thought, wow, that's a pretty good name or a title for a song. So where all the lonely people go, and they go to Big Lonesome, Wyoming. It's in the E.
If the one that you love leaves too many questions unanswered, it's enough to make you wonder why you bother to breathe or still lie. But come tomorrow morning, I'm gonna cash my check, head myself to Big Lonesome. I got a little place there. I've got a little place there that waits for me, up on a hill where I can see the river below called misery. So come tomorrow morning, I'm gonna cash my check, head myself to Big Lonesome. I got a little place there. If the one that you love longs for some other arms to hold her, made it clear that there ain't no doubt, you gotta quit, stop reaching out. So come tomorrow morning, I'm gonna pay that bill, head myself to Big Lonesome. I got a little place there. I got a little place there that waits for me, up on a hill where I can see the river below called misery. So come tomorrow morning, I'm gonna pay that bill, head myself to Big Lonesome. I got a little place there. Head myself to Big Lonesome. I got a little place there. Head myself to Big Lonesome. I've got a little place.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I understood the words to that song.
Well, English is my second language, but I speak it better than most.
I thought maybe I'd had a revelation, and I was like,
well,
oh,
I always thought when I sang in Spanish, I'd have a monitor, you know, with subtitles as I'm singing.
You could do that. Get one of those little digital sign things.
Right.
That'd be kind of funny.
You know, in some ways, English is a second language. You probably do get a better education at how to speak the language properly, because you always fight against your own native tongue.
Right, and it's English is kind of a harsh language, you know, because it's all guttural sounds and stuff like that. And then also when you write songs in Spanish, it's the poetry is totally different. Uh-huh. And then you translate it into English, and it's like I have a song called Tengo una herida, which means I have a wound. You know, like, oh, yeah, I got a wound in my heart and the blood's gushing out. But it just doesn't sound really poetic in English, you know?
Well, my friend, that's country music for you. It's country music. Yeah. I know what you mean. French does the same thing, sort of.
Oh,
like.
I always wanted to learn how to speak French. Well, it's, you know, the Latin-based language. So yeah.
Well, I swear to you. Now, I've asked a few people, and maybe you could tell me the truth here, but German is actually a Romance language. See?
Really? No, I don't think so, no.
See, I know, you wouldn't think so, but I've heard that.
Really?
Am I wrong? Can anybody in the audience know this for sure?
Yeah, it's Germanic.
It's Germanic,
yes, there you go. See, I knew that.
So I was making that up? Yeah. Crap.
No, I think it's just because they drink a lot of beer, so they become romantic.
I was just hoping, I don't know.
Everything's kind of romantic after you've had
I get the feeling so romantic, you know. you started to mention the dog. Your dog. Anne is a vet. You're a veterinarian.
Mm, yeah.
For your day job, right?
Yeah, the problem is now you let the cat out of the bag. So I always told Chris, don't mention on stage that I'm a vet because during break, I can never make it to the bathroom. Because people start asking me questions about their dog.
Which
or
Chris
cat.
Did you ask?
This guy,
the one in the yellow shirt.
Yes, this.
We'll save our questions.
No, I always just say, you know, Clyde calls her Aunt B from the
Andy Griffith.
Yeah. And so, because she's always hovering around trying to take care of us, so I learned not to mention. I always just say, and on bass guitar we have Aunt B. I never mentioned. I used to say, you know, the doctor on bass and everything, and it's like, and then I let it out one time that she was a vet, and I. Poor woman, you know, it's like everybody was...
You know, you have to hold it a long time. You don't make it there, it's like another whole set.
So if you could
just a vet, you're human.
Hold your questions for later.
Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
We have a 900 number, too, by the way, you can call.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's an aside.
Yeah.
I have had people tell me that, they use pet psychics. To find out what's wrong with their cat. And I said, well, okay. And, you know, did it work? Oh, yeah, they told us exactly what was, you know, wrong. And I said, okay, well, then how come I'm here for the dog? And they said, well, actually, you're cheaper than the pet psychic.
Man, that's harsh.
That was a night that I drank a whole bottle of wine. How many years of school?
Yeah. Eight.
Eight.
Well, maybe you can incorporate that, and it wouldn't matter if you're, you could be doing the actual science and then pretending to
At night,
like,
I
have
could
a
be
vision.
The pet psychic and have the 900 That's number, right. yeah.
So do you have a specialty? I'm sorry to
You know, no, not really.
Okay.
No. I mean, it's mostly small animal now, but I used to do everything,
yeah.
Dogs, cats, horses, pigs,
I've got
goats.
This cat...
Oh no, it's begun.
Who likes to flush the toilet when we have guests?
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just so that everybody freaks out. You know, there's only four people in the whole house, and we're all sitting there looking at each other, and the toilet flushes down the hall.
Does she use the toilet first?
No, unfortunately.
No, he just likes to watch the water.
That's too bad. That would be good if she would go in the toilet and then flush it.
I'm glad we got on the subject because I actually had this in my notes. We wanted to talk about this. Somehow work in toilets and animals.
I've noticed that toilets have been a really good part of our show.
I know.
We're starting to...
We just got a new one. It's exciting.
That's right. We had a great time.
It really works. You flush it, it goes
Is it like
off.
A low-flow toilet or...
Well, when we moved into the hired man's house, it was an old toilet throne, as we call it. Uh-huh. And that thing, you'd flush it, and it would just, like, nothing would happen. So, Now we got a new one, and it's exciting out in the country, folks.
Turn her loose. Honey, come over here and check this out. Man,
so basically, we could come to your house, we could get our animals fixed, and we could use your toilet.
You could. We would show you the toilet first. We're so excited
about it. We are so there.
That's awesome.
And what's your address?
Never mind.
Out in Columbia County.
Okay.
The Sticks. Past the Gentleman's Club on N.
Yes. You guys know where that is, right?
For sure.
Yeah, where no gentlemen exist.
See, in North Bristol, it's the Gentleman's Club. In East Bristol, it's the church.
Yes.
Got to keep them separated?
Go to one after the other.
That's right.
Oh.
You confess your sins, I think.
But you don't have to. And then in both places, you have to contribute.
Yes.
Except the guys in church are dressed. We won't.
Yeah.
I think we get the picture.
Yeah. So now, how do we, we're always at a loss, but then how do we find our way back?
You know what? I think you guys should just play a song and quick.
Speaking of working girls.
Awesome.
Okay.
This is a song about a neighbor that I had. And she was very popular, one of the most beautiful women that I'd ever known. And I didn't realize until I was grown up that why she was so popular.
It's not me. I'm not popping.
Is this play alongable?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
And it's in F, I believe. It's called Tequila Mockingbird.
Oh,
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I don't know if you plan to do this, but one of my favorite songs of yours is The Morning Dove.
Don't Break My Heart.
And I know you do it a lot, but...
My wife calls it a dumb bird song.
He's got a lot of bird songs.
Yes. Well, you know, Mexicans write about birds and
horses.
And, yeah. It's a big subject that we cover.
Do you? I mean, I don't know if you plan to do that. A special request.
We've got it later.
Awesome.
But we have a gentleman out here in the audience that when I first started playing, he was the drummer in our group, and we were going to do a recording, and we ran this song over and over a bunch of times, and we could never get the right rhythm to it. And I liked the song, but it just wouldn't gel. And one time he came in and had this just great rhythm to it, and that made the song. So he's here tonight. Dave Sullivan, by the way, is the one that made this song hop on the... And so I owe him this song. Because without the drum pattern, it was, you know how some songs no matter what you do, it just doesn't sound right. And but ever since, everybody who plays it puts something different on it, and then you're going like, no, that's not what you're supposed to be playing. You're supposed to be playing this, you know. But it was a song that I wrote about the first time that I took Anne to see the ocean. And she'd never seen the ocean, you know, being a Wisconsin girl, and she just... wanted, so we went down to San Antonio, and then we went to Corpus Christi and took her out there, and the hurricane had come through and washed all the trash and everything over the sand dunes, so it was just pristine, just beautiful, and all the oil barrels were behind the dunes and everything, you know, so it looked like you were walking in paradise. So you get inspired, and so I wrote a song called The Hurricane, and it goes something like this. It's in that G.
Hope your whole life don't blow away, away. Oh, oh, oh.
Thank you, David.
Very nice.
Yeah, that is true. You can have a tune that you really like, but there's just this missing ingredient. You just can't figure it out until someone comes in and goes, and you go, man, I would never have thought of that.
Right. And also, you know, the tempo, too. You can be playing it really fast, and it just not happening, and then all of a sudden you get tired and slow it down, and, oh, wow, that's pretty good. But such is the mystery of music.
Yeah. It's definitely fun to play with tempos.
Yes, and I have a little drum machine, so I throw all these little weird patterns in there that have nothing to do with what I'm playing. It's, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Chris changes tempo a lot right in the song.
I'm a folk musician.
Everything's a one.
That's right. I know where the one is. Yeah. One.
Yeah. Well, this is, I'm watching your feet, and it's interesting to
watch. Oh, don't ever watch his feet.
What do you mean I never wash my feet?
You know,
no,
when
we're
he's
not
writing,
washing your feet.
Oh, okay.
When he's writing a song, he's upstairs. Oh, you know, I just think, oh, good Lord, we're really going to have to work on this song because, you know, he expands measures, you know, and then when he's writing a song, it you know, it's just like time means nothing. And, you know, and he goes, well, can't we keep it that way? I said, well, not if you want to play in a band.
But, I mean, you guys you're right in the groove, but I'm watching feet. And you know, your roles are obviously a little different here, but you're both feeling the beat and you're both pounding the beat with your feet differently.
Yeah. Right. You know? I'm right, he's wrong.
But it's very
I got news for you, honey.
I'm getting that.
She's right.
I know, I got that.
Well, when we play with Clyde, a lot of times he calls me up 2 days before the game. Oh, I can't make it, brother. And so we get a substitute drummer in, and Ranmore, I don't know if you know
sure,
Ran.
Yeah, you know.
He was playing with us one night. He says, you know, I watched your feet. He goes, and I don't know what you're doing. I said, well, God, okay. I'm self-conscious now.
Don't watch the feet. Do not watch the feet.
I want to put his feet in cement.
That's right.
I got hold him there. My Chris, when he gets playing, if he's playing really fast, his foot's just like, you know, taking off.
They call that restless.
Yeah, and I'm as a kind of bass player, too. I'm just going...
There's a drug for that. There's a pharmaceutical drug for that.
Is there, really? Okay.
Yes, we have some out in the van right now.
Yeah. Can you write me a prescription for that?
That was always the joke in our band. We have... we're actually the only band that has legal drugs.
Yes. That's probably
for dogs. For dogs.
Oh, for dogs. Okay.
For man's best friend.
Yeah. Chris, I wanted to ask you... you're the main songwriter, and do you write also?
She's written one song.
Okay. One song. You don't want to hear that.
She's always giving me ideas for songs, and a lot of times it's really strange, you know, because I'm going like, well, that won't work, but I use it. And one time I wrote a song for we got invited to play the Indian Summer Festival, and the Indians are really neat to work for because they'll send you a contract and it's blank. And you fill in the amount that you think you're worth.
That's very zen. I like that.
And if they think it's too high, well, they never contact you again.
Wow.
And so I wanted to write a song because I was at this festival, and I had all these native guys come up to me and say, hey, I saw you at the Mexican festival. How can you be Mexican and Indian now? I said, well, they have a lot of Mexicans and they have a lot of Indians in Mexico. And they go, they do? I said, yeah. And I said, well, you've heard of the Aztecs? And they go, oh, yeah. I said, well, I'm not one of them. And they said, well, what kind of Indian are you? And I said, well, I'm a Cleveland Indian. But she helped me write part of the verse of this one song. And when they reviewed the CD, they quoted her instead of me. And she's never let me live that down.
That's because my name isn't on the song.
Well, did your dad influence you? Or did your parents, did your upbringing?
My mother was a singer, and my father was a guitar player, a little accordion, and both of my brothers played. In fact, my oldest brother, Johnny, he's still a musician. He plays in a mariachi band down in San Antonio. So they get out there and do all those great songs, you know, and... And my father was the one that taught us all how to play guitar, and my mother was the one that told us how to sing and, you know, on pitch and everything.
Okay.
So she had a beautiful voice.
You told me a little story before the show, having to deal with a car and your father and you and your brother.
Oh, yes, yes. We were, one time my brother and I were practicing and I'm playing the guitar and my brother's playing the accordion and we're switching back and forth. He's, well, look at this riff, you know. And so my father was fixing flats on an old truck that he had, and he had his car parked next to it. And he said, you boys need to come out here and help me fix this. And we're going, yeah, okay, okay. So we keep playing, and he's, oh, look at this riff, you know. And he came in and said, you guys got to come and help me play. I mean, you got to help me change the tires on this car because it's getting dark outside. And we kept ignoring him. Finally, he came in, and he grabbed the guitar out of my hand and the accordion, threw it in front of the car, and ran him over. He says, I guess you guys are ready to help me now, huh? And we're like, $500 guitar and accordion.
Oh, man.
So I, and
wow. You stopped ignoring your father.
You know, but it did. And next time he asked us for help, we were Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But your dad, you told me before the show, your dad was also a contortionist. And I said, really?
I said, can we move the bass? And I said, oh, yeah, sure, move it by. I'm flexible.
Yeah.
My daddy was a contortionist. Yeah. He died in his own arms, you know.
Yeah.
But anything.
I believed you for about 2 seconds. Like, huh? Oh, God.
Yeah. No. I think we're becoming more gullible by doing this show.
Yeah.
Instead of less.
That's a way to live. You know, well, thanks, folks. No, I'm just kidding.
So have you written songs about where you live now? In Wisconsin and around your experience here?
Not really. Most of the songs that I write are have to do with the animals that we own and stuff like that. Or
the weather?
Nothing
about the weather?
No, not really. I really have strange subject matters. Somebody had they gave me a CD one time and on the back it had all the contents, all the song titles. And I'm really smart. I thought that this guy had written like a stanza of poetry. And I'm going like, wow, this guy's really deep, you know? Yeah. And like one of them, the thing was, one of the titles was Superheroes. And the other one was Spinning Rhymes. And I go, man, he's so illiterate, you know, superheroes, spinning rhymes, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally it dawned on me after I put the CD on that they were the titles of the song. I never claimed I was bright.
Well, it's all in your perspective, isn't it?
Right. No, but it's generally when I started really writing songs is when I went to Austin, Texas, and I fell in with the what they call the progressive country music movement down there.
You called it Awesome Texas,
awesome,
didn't you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it was a happening town, and there was a lot of people there that I really liked the way they wrote songs and stuff. So, like Michael Murphy had like a Rolodex with just lines, and he'd find a line that he liked, he would write it down, and he'd alphabetize them. So if he needed a line for a song, he would just like flip through it, and oh yeah, this will work.
So were these lines that he came up with, or just lines that he'd heard and you could incorporate because it was just...
Well,
short
sentence. When you get to open for people that you really admire and stuff like that, you try and pick their brains about, you know, what do you think about songwriting? And Jerry Jeff says, well, you're either a songwriter or you're not, so forget about it. And one guy said, well, no, you have to work at it night and day. And then the best advice I got was from... Lyle Lovett before he became Lyle Lovett. And he said, well, you know, if you observe people and listen in on their conversations, a lot of times they'll come up with these great lines. So I listen in on a lot of conversations. Mm-hmm. I work for the government now.
You're listening.
No, so it's one of those things where I listen to people, and a lot of times, you know, in just in the way that they're expressing themselves, a lot of times they'll come up with these great lines, and you just have to be there and write it down, and then I have like stacks of papers, and I'm going, oh, this is a great line. I'll use this in a song when I'm, hard up for inspiration.
Superheroes, what was that line?
Superheroes spinning rhymes.
That's nice.
And one of them was Mama Don't Come Around, and the other song title was the edge of the city. Oh, Mama, don't come around the edge of the city. Wow, now that's pretty good, huh?
Because they're superheroes.
Because superheroes are spinning rhymes. Yeah. See, it sounds good, don't it?
It does. Yeah. Now, was your last album, 2003, Life is Hard?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's me, the picture of me on the cover with my BB gun. And I've never been happy ever since because my mother, I never shot anybody's eye out with that thing. And my mother said to me, son, you're never going to be happy until you shoot somebody's eye out with that thing.
Well, you got a lot of great advice growing up. Yeah. That's probably, I don't know.
But if you look really carefully, I think it's flies on zip. Mm.
So now you have to get the album.
Oh my gosh.
So you have some of those
ready
for sale here at the show?
Yeah,
right?
Yes, I do. I'll be glad to take your money.
Yeah, we used to shoot. Did you shoot baby guns as a kid? Obviously, you did.
Yes.
And you never shot anyone's eye out?
Right. That's why I'm not happy.
We used to do that as kids, too. You know, and you look back, and that's really stupid. You know, we're shooting BB guns at each other.
Right.
You know, and you lighting
were probably
firecrackers
too far
and throwing
away
them at
from
each other.
You know.
Yeah. But, yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know where that takes us, but.
Well.
Quick, a song.
This is a song about Oklahoma. It's
Oklahoma.
No. The only reason that I like Oklahoma is because the speed limit is 75 miles an hour. And you can get through Oklahoma really fast then, you know. So it's a song called Long Hard Ride. And it's one of those songs that if you listen to it, it's a song about a car. Maybe. Oh, okay, it's an E. A one, two, a one, two, three. I got eight on the wheel, I got four on the floor, a dual carburetor and a leather back seat. A sweet little darling by my side, I'm gonna take her out for a long, hard ride. Got my hand on a thigh, a tank full of gas. I never jump in till she's running real hot. The fastest thing on the Indian Nation, she passed anything except a gas station ride. I love to ride. Covered in chrome, a tan color model, and the inside is pink. I love the look of headlights when I'm sitting inside. I'm gonna take her out for a long, hard ride. She's my Indian maiden, I'm a Cherokee man. I love to feel the curves when she sees me wide open. She runs so smooth, got no hesitation. She passed anything except a gas station ride. I love to ride. And a leather back seat, a sweet little darling by my side. I'm gonna take her out for a long, hard ride. Check the wall, son. I think she might be running hot. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So a song about a car. We got animals and cars.
Yeah, well, yeah. Horsepower.
Horsepower, yeah. A lot of people talk about their cars sort of like, feel about their automobile sort of like animals.
Well, I used to be that way until I rolled the car over. It was the first car that I ever saved my money up to get, and just big hot rod, and I rolled her over and had to call the old man to come and get me.
Oh.
That was not pretty, folks.
What was it?
It was a Dodge Demon.
A Dodge
340
Demon.
340 four-speed hearse, dual carburetor.
Oh, it was a hearse?
A hearse shifter.
Oh, okay.
Hearse, okay.
Four-speed. Never stalls, got over.
I've never even heard of a Dodge Demon.
Oh, well, there were that, and it was Plymouth something else.
Duster.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Plymouth okay. Duster and the Dodge Demon were this.
Okay. I'm going to go look that up when I get home.
Yeah, there you go. The Roadrunners have those big spoilers in the back. Yeah. The Super Bees, and you know.
So what happened, man? What really, what's the story?
Well, we used to go out drag racing.
Aha!
And I took off. I'm going really fast. Got into second. I went to third. Had a really short shift, and I think I missed third. And I looked down, and when I put it in third, I was not on the road anymore. Oh, right over. And I had a roll bar. My dad had welded a roll bar on the inside and everything. Cause
you're probably lucky that he did that, aren't you? Yeah.
Well, maybe not.
Yeah. Did you have your seatbelt on?
I became a musician after that.
Sorry, Dad.
Another calling, you know.
Yeah. And then he drove over your guitar.
Yeah, well, you know. But he had a used auto parts store. We were recyclers back then, too. And he had an old 57... wrecker that he came and he hauled me up, you know, hooked it on, winched it up, took me home, and boy, I cried for a long time.
Yeah. I bet. That's a, yeah.
Well, you know, I think I bought it pretty much brand new, and I believe I paid like $3,500 for it.
Brand spanking
new. Awful lot.
Oh, my God. Wow. I had an uncle once that, I know he's still my uncle. I shall not name him, but he thought he'd save money by going to the factory to buy
in Detroit,
the
right?
Dodge, or whatever it was. Actually, I think it was a Dodge. So he thought he'd go to the factory and buy the most stripped down thing he could get.
It was a K car.
It was a K car. It was a 3-speed on the column.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He said,
beautiful
"No radio.
Vehicle.
I don't want a radio. I don't want air conditioning. I don't want anything." And it turns out that it cost him a lot more money because that was custom.
Right.
That made it a custom car.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why it was a K car.
That was custom, a K car, yeah.
Custom
so
car.
Don't ask questions, just take it the way it is and you're fine.
That's beautiful. So he gets home with this car with nothing in it that he paid more for.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like today, ain't it?
Yeah.
Except we have to bail them out to make cars for us.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just sad. Do you have a sad song?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
It's, you know, my father was a big influence on me. As far as songwriting and everything, and he was sick for about 15 years at the end of his life. He was on dialysis 3 times a week. Never lost his sense of humor, though. And so I used to call him every day, and we'd converse and things, and I wanted to pick his brain about stuff that, you know, you never talk to people about. And one time I called him up, and he said to me, "Son, you better not call me anymore, because I don't think I'm going to be alive anymore." Oh. And I said, "Why?" He says, "Well, I don't feel good. I don't think I'm going to make it through the night." And I said, "Well, can I ask you something? I've always wanted to find out." I said, he goes, "Well, go ahead." I said, "Are you afraid of dying?" He didn't say anything. It was a long pause. And finally he said, "No, I'm not afraid of dying." He goes, "But I don't know what I'm going to wear to the funeral." And I said, "Well, Don't worry about it." I said, "We got a nice little cowboy outfit for you and everything, you know, a nice suit and boots and everything." He said, "No, you don't understand." He said, "I don't know what to wear, whether it should be for warm weather or cold weather." I said, "Well, that's between you and the maker." So true to his word, he passed away. And I went down and we buried him. And on the airport, you wait a long time. So I wrote this song for him on the way back called "My Old Man."
saw enough. Soon as I learned to walk, soon as I learned to talk, I told him so, I told him so. He said, boy, old man was a working fool, never spent one day in school, came straight down from up in Mexico. Soon as he learned to talk, soon as he learned to walk, he had to go, he had to go. Man, life is hard, but you carry on. Come on, boy, and sit up straight. Good things come to those who wait, but I guess he just waited his whole life. Never got his pot of gold. All he got was just too old to carry on. Man, life is hard. Much. It was hard to hear him say what he wanted from his life, even on his dying day. Son, even though you've grown, I hate to leave you all alone, but carry on. Man, life is hard, but you carry on. Could have sung the blues, but he just plumb flat out refused to let this big old world come knock him down. He stood up to every blow and tried to never let it show. Don't let it show. Don't let it show. Man, life is hard, but you carry on. Hey, life is hard. Carry on.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
We've got time for another tune.
All right.
You guys want to hear another tune? Definitely.
All right. We're going to do the request you had here, Chris.
All right.
The request for the Dumb Bird song.
Tweet.
Actually, you asked me about inspiration. I read the book Lonesome Dove, and that's what kind of inspired this song. So, ready?
Okay. 1, 2, and 3. Hear that mourning dove a-cooing. Hear that mourning dove a-crying. See that mourning. Oh, please don't fly away.
sad lament of a lonesome dove call out, I call the name home. Hear that mourning dove a cooing, hear that mourning dove a crying, see that mourning dove just trying to fly away. Oh, please don't fly away. Oh, please don't fly away. Oh, please don't fly away. Don't break my heart that way.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you for coming. Chris and Ann Plata.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Chris Wagner and Mary Gaines.
Oh, thank you. Oh. You can go to their website, www.powerweb.net/Plata, P-L-A-T-A. Thank you all for coming tonight. And special thanks to Andy LaValle back behind the soundboard. Who's
Bear Productions.
Bear Sound.
Bear Sound.
Yes.
Someday we'll get it right.
Thank you for listening.